7 days until the general election and referendum on STV here in British Columbia. We continue to look at the referendum with Julian West, co-chair of the STV for BC organization, the leading proponent for the Yes side. The website is stvforbc.com. He's also an instructor of mathematics at Malaspina University College in Nanaimo. Please welcome to thecommentary.ca, Julian West. Good morning, Dr. West.
Good morning.
Who makes up the STV for BC organization?
Well, our organization's really made up of individuals from across the political spectrum who've just had a long-term interest in electoral reform, and a lot of people we'd never heard of who just came out of the woodwork after they read about the Citizens' Assembly and got excited.
How did you get involved?
Well, I've been involved with this for about 10 years now, really since before the 1996 election. But the 1996 election was a catalyst for a lot of people because, it produced a situation where the party with the second most votes not only got more seats, but actually a majority government. That sort of struck people as a little bit wrong. And I sort of sensed that the time was good for raising the profile of this issue a little bit higher. And we started an organization back then in 1997 called the Electoral Change Coalition. And again, that was, a group that had really representation from across the political spectrum. There were six different political parties involved with it. And it ran for a little while and then gave way to Fair Voting BC. And that's one of the principal supporters of the current Yes campaign. But, the campaign we have now is just so much broader and so much bigger and so much more inclusive than those organizations we had back in the 1990s. We were kind of crying in the wilderness back then, and of course it's a mainstream front page issue now.
Have you always been in favor of the STV system?
No, actually I haven't. There are people around, Nick Lunan would be the leading example of that, who have always been specifically in favor of STV. I have always supported some form of proportional representation, but I didn't really make up my mind which form was going to fit best with British Columbia until early last year when I was preparing my presentation to the Citizens' Assembly. And I actually looked at some of the issues that they were raising in their early discussions where they were concerned. They were concerned about party lists, which are common in many forms of proportional representation, both in places like Germany that have mixed systems, but also places like Sweden that have more pure PR systems. So they were concerned about the party lists, and they were also concerned about how large the ridings would get in the north, some of the other parts of the province, the Kootenays and so on, and wanted to find a form of proportional representation that would be a good fit with those special geographic challenges we have in British Columbia. And I felt that would be STV, and a lot of people on the Assembly agreed. And I think those are two of the primary reasons that STV was chosen.
The No campaign was on here last week. We talked with Bill Thielman. We've also talked with David Schreck over the last couple of weeks.
Sure.
Thielman, in particular, had said that your campaign, the Yes side, had an advantage in that the Citizens' Assembly report had been sent to every home in the province, whereas they didn't have that same outlet. Well, how do you respond to that?
Well, there hasn't really been very strong Yes propaganda sent out to the homes around the province. In fact, the information pieces that have come from Elections BC and from the Referendum Information Office have been quite balanced. But I think it's very appropriate that the Assembly's report was sent out. I mean, it was a recommendation made by a responsible body that made very specific recommendations as to what changes that should be made. The Assembly wasn't just saying that a referendum should be held, that British Columbians should just be offered a choice of these voting systems. They said that this new voting system was better in every respect, and British Columbians need to hear that.
What about the argument that it is too complicated, that people can't seem to understand it? And that comes from the No side, as well as I had John Pfeiffer on an hour ago, and he said that people just don't understand it.
Well, I agree that people don't understand it. I don't agree that they can't understand it. I think people out there who, in some cases, because you know they're from the no side, and in other cases, for less self-interested reasons, have really made this more complicated than it needs to be. I mean, people are trying to show it in the wrong way, and it does lead to confusion. I think if you approach it in the right way and start with principles instead of starting with abstract mathematical formulas, then people don't take very long before they understand what's important and how to cast their votes.
Has there been misinformation coming from the no side?
Well, there's some misinformation. There has been. They've possibly moderated some of that messaging. I mean, in the early days, they constantly tried to claim that this was not a form of proportional representation, which is just nonsense. It's a well-known form of proportional representation. In fact, it's the earliest and in many ways most pure form of proportional representation. So, you know, that's a nonsensical thing to say. They've also created the impression, and they've had some success with this, that if you have a region of the province and you're electing several people within that region, whichever community in there is the largest would become the bully and run the show. Similarly, at nomination meetings, whichever faction within a party was the largest would make all the choices. And that's just not consistent with the way this system works. It's completely consistent with trying to run a first-past-the-post election, but that's what we're trying to replace.
The other thing that I noticed, too, coming from the no side last week was that ridings such as where I live in Vancouver, we'd elect 7 members, whereas up north, they would only elect 2.
Yeah.
Is that misinformation, that the proportionality of the population is in play there? That's
yeah,
why
some
you
people,
have 7
some
to 2.
People have gotten confused by that and they seem to think that it means that there's going to be a tilting of seats toward the population centers. And, of course, that's completely false. Every region of the province is going to elect exactly the same number of MLAs as it elects today. Somebody asked me yesterday, why should Surrey have 7 seats and the Peace River District only have 2? And I said, well, that's what we have now. Surrey has 7 seats. Peace River District has 2. The question is, when we put seats together to make these larger regions, how much of this pushing together should we do? And in Surrey, it makes perfect sense to push the 7 seats all together because it's one community, Surrey, and it has a clear identity. In fact, they all vote together in municipal elections every 3 years. So they can certainly elect their MLAs together, but if you tried to push 7 seats together in the north, it would stretch from Prince Rupert to the Alberta border. So, once you look at a region up there electing 7 MLAs, it's clearly crossing several different geographic regions. It's crossing several mountain ranges. So up there, it's going to make more sense to break it into smaller groups. So there'll be probably 3 seats in the northwest and 3 seats in Prince George and 2 seats in the Peace River District, something like that.
The no side makes the argument that ballot papers will be difficult to mark, thus people will be disenchanted by that and not show up to vote. How do you respond to that criticism
of
STV?
That is very silly because, in fact, people are being given a real choice here and a real incentive to vote for the first time. So turnout will actually go up because people who have really no practical reason to go out and vote today will have a reason to go and vote under this new system. For example, supporters of the Green Party, they turn out to the polls and they vote, but they're really voting to send a signal, not because they have any expectation that they're going to secure representation, that their vote is actually going to be reflected in the legislature. Well, under the new system, it will be. So those people have a much greater incentive to vote. But even people who live in ridings that are not competitive now, like if you live in Vancouver Quilchena, you know the Liberals are going to get elected. And if you live in Vancouver Mount Pleasant, you know the NDP is going to get elected. So if you're an NDP voter in Vancouver Quilchena, you don't really have a particular reason to vote today. I mean, okay, it's your civic duty. It's very nice to increase the number of votes for your party, but you know that your vote isn't going to count. And in fact, if you're a Liberal voter in Vancouver Colchena, you still have no reason to vote because you know that your party has won. So if you know, either way, if somebody asks you to go sailing on election day, you can go and not feel guilty that you've just cost your party a seat because that seat's known. But that's not going to be the case under STV. There's going to be a competitive race in every district. So there's much more incentive for people to vote. Their vote will contribute to the outcome. And furthermore, STV is going to give people choice within parties. So again, you can't just say, oh, I know the Liberals have won here. I don't need to vote. The question is, which Liberal is going to win there? It's the voters who are going to determine that. So there's more reason to get out to the polls because even if, you've always voted Liberal and you always will vote Liberal and everybody knows that, now you'll be able to say which Liberal candidate you like better than the other. Again, it's something you can express at the poll. So I think this is just going to increase turnout.
Walk us through the process. I live in Vancouver, so suppose we were voting under an STV system now.
Sure.
I had to elect seven MLAs. Let's say there were 21, 28 candidates. Would I be able to vote just for one candidate if I wish?
Yeah, you can go into the ballot booth, mark a one, and leave, and you're done. If you've got a reason to believe that one candidate is pretty popular and is quite likely to be elected, there's a very good chance your vote is going to count. But if you want to be a little more sure, you can go on and add a second or third preference, quite likely within the same party. So let's say you live in Vancouver, and suppose you vote for the Liberal Party. If you mark 1, 2, 3 next to three of those Liberals, it's very hard to believe that none of them is going to wind up being elected. Therefore, your vote will wind up settling in the pile of one of those three people, and it's going to count. And there's no real reason for you then to mark 4, 5, 6, 7. Internationally, the experience is that about 95% of the votes that count for the first three choices, one of the first three choices that's marked on there.
Why did the Citizens Assembly choose to implement a system where ridings would become bigger, where we would pick seven MLAs rather than have the STV in each riding?
Well, you see, you can't have proportionality when you make these decisions one at a time.
I see.
They do this in Australia. They have a transferable ballot in one riding. It's not STV. It's often called alternative vote. It's just as disproportional as our first-past-the-post system. If you went back to the last election, there's very, very few ridings that would have gone any differently if we'd given people a second choice within those single-member ridings. Liberals would still have swept just about every seat in the province. There are arguments that at a federal level, that the voting system would be even more disproportional if we used an alternative vote in single-member ridings, because the Liberal Party, which is the most overrepresented party, is also a very popular second choice. So, in fact, there are quite a lot of ridings which the Liberals would have taken away from the Conservatives because of second choices from NDP voters, and other ridings they would have taken away from the NDP because of second choices of Conservative voters. The single in single transferable vote, refers to this fact that you have a single vote but in a multiple-member riding.
What about what the no side says, that some voter preferences will get counted more?
No, that's just not true. I mean, every person has one vote, and you have, that each person's vote is counted with the same weight. So one of the members of the Citizens Assembly suggests, I think it's a very good analogy, that you think of your vote as being like a loonie. That you could divide up into 100 cents. So either, for most people, their whole vote is going to wind up coming to rest on a single candidate and electing that candidate.
So
in some cases, where the candidate's gone over quota, the vote will be divided so that, for instance, you might have 85 cents sitting on one candidate, 15 cents sitting on another. But it's, there's the same value to these because, you know, each person has had the same input, namely $1, into the decision.
I'm confused about that transfer process. Suppose I go into the voting booth here in Vancouver and I've ranked 7 candidates out of 28, so to speak.
Yep.
And then somebody else will rank their ballot 1 through 28.
Yep.
Won't theirs count more than mine?
No, not at all. You see, you still have one single vote. That's why it's called single transferable vote. Your vote is just directed to the person you voted for first.
So the first 7.
You should think of this as, you should think of, well, let me give you a couple of different ways to think about this.
Sure.
Instead of thinking about fractions and math and arithmetic and all that stuff, people should think about principles. The principle here is to divide the electorate into equal slices. Each one of those slices secures one representative. You can think of taking a class of students out to form sports teams. You want to divide 36 students into 4 groups of 9 to play baseball. Have all the potential team captains go space themselves out. The rest of the students go stand with the person whose team they want to be on. That's their first choice. If you have a team that's full, there's a surplus there. You say, okay, there's 12 students here, only 9 on a baseball team, so I'm designating 3 of you as surplus. You can't go with your first choice. Please, you can go to your second choice.
I see. Okay.
And then if I go to the smallest team and I say, okay, other teams are closer to full, so I'm disbanding you. Again, you can go to your second choice. So some people's votes are going to their first choices. Some people's votes are going to their second choices. Right? As opposed to what happens with our current system, which is if your first choice gets the most votes, your vote goes there. If your first choice does not get the most votes, it disappears. Your vote just disappears. Under the new system, that doesn't happen. You have your vote back to cast it again. It's like when you have a leadership convention, the voting is done in rounds. So, for instance, the last Liberal convention, you might have gone supporting Sheila Copps. So you vote for Sheila Copps, okay, she's eliminated. There's 2 people left, John Manley and Paul Martin. As a person who voted for Sheila Copps in the first round, does that mean you no longer have a vote? No, because you're still a delegate at the convention. You have the same right to vote as everybody else does. You can vote in the second round and express a preference. Which one do you like better, John Manley or Paul Martin? It doesn't mean you've betrayed Sheila Copps. It just means she's been eliminated, right? So it's the same thing in STV vote. If the person that you vote for first is strong enough to get elected, that's where your vote goes. If the person you vote for first is not strong enough to get elected, then you can express a preference among the remaining candidates. You haven't lost your vote just because you voted for a loser in the first round.
About leadership conventions, though, you have the ability to go back to the polls, whereas in a general election, you would just vote once.
Right. And, I mean, that's where the complexity here comes from. That's where people get confused. Is that we do all of that voting at once on one ballot, right?
Yeah.
So when you mark the preferences on your ballot, you go first, second, third. That is basically a set of instructions to the vote counters that says, this is where I would like my vote to be counted in the first round. And as long as that candidate stays in the running, my vote stays with that person. If in some round my candidate is eliminated, then this is what I would like to have happen in the second round.
Now, there's a thing about quotas that I don't understand. Now, there's a quota that if you reach that threshold, you are automatically elected?
Right. That means you've filled your baseball team. Right? So in my baseball example, quota was 9, because you need 9 people to fill a team. And 9 was just, in this case, 1/4 of the voters. So it's the same thing, right? In STV, a certain number of votes are cast. Quota is just a determination how many voters it would take to have built one of those fractions of the electorate.
So suppose that you receive 12 votes in an election. The quota is 9.
Yep.
So 3 of those votes would it be redistributed, right?
Right.
How do you pick which 3 ballots?
Yeah. Don't pick. So in the example, to make it simple, I said, well, I'll just tap 3 students on the head.
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm the teacher. on this omniscient being that can just come through and decide which three we're going to move. In the actual BCS TV, we're not going to single out individual voters to move and other voters to stay. What we're going to do is move a fraction of each one.
I see. Okay.
So if I've got 12 votes and I want to move three of them, what I do is I move a quarter of each vote because one quarter of 12 is 3.
So all 12 ballots get counted, essentially.
So that's right. So we took all 12 ballots and we divide them into two parts. Three quarters of the ballot stays with the candidate, giving that person a total of 9. One quarter of the ballot moves. It's as though we had a surplus of 3.
Right.
But we moved the 3 that were surplus by taking a poll of all 12 and saying, where should those 3 go? Not just making it up to those 3 students to decide where to move, but they would be directed by a meeting of the 12.
Now, it actually makes sense to me now, but how long does this take so that we get our results on election night? Or do we have to wait until the next morning? Or?
Well, this will be, people will vote on paper, and there'll be proper paper ballots that can be examined afterwards, and recounts could be done and so on. But those paper ballots will be scanned by computers, exactly the same way we do in Vancouver City elections right now. People vote on paper bubble forms,
right?
And those are scanned by computers. So the answer is, we'll know the results as soon as the last ballot has been returned and scanned. Now, how long it's going to take to pick up all the ballots and centralize, I can't say. I mean, right now it seems to take a couple of hours. There may be steps taken to make that go faster. I don't know. I do know that Elections BC is looking at this very carefully. But once the ballots have been scanned, we get the final results right away. In fact, they've moved to this in Ireland, which has been using STV for the longest. And people were disappointed because it used to take days to get the results. They used to count them by hand. The results used to come in very slowly, and people would spend several days kind of still in the running, hadn't been elected yet, hadn't been eliminated yet, and it was quite exciting. Now with the computers, you get the results instantly, and people are complaining because it's taking all the fun out of it. So they're looking at maybe calculating the results right away, but releasing them slowly so that people could have a build-up from round to round.
Really? Finally, Julian, how has it been, the campaign thus far? Do you think people are getting it and that they are supportive of STV?
Well, I know those people that we've been able to reach are. When we speak to audiences, and I've been all over the province talking to, Rotary clubs, groups in seniors' homes, public meetings sponsored by newspapers, you can watch the audience coming on board over the course of the afternoon or the evening. They really just want to know. They just want to be reassured that there are answers to their questions.
And once
they see it, everybody likes it. The real challenge has been trying to get to every voter. And, as you know, in British Columbia, that's quite hard to do.
Right.
Some people live quite a long way away. Other people get their primary news sources in a variety of languages. So there's been real challenges there. And, to be honest, we haven't had a lot of money. So, we've done what we can. We expect it'll be enough because, the polls we have suggest that that this is a very popular change.
So there is enough time, a week to go, that this will pass a week from today?
I think it will. When we've had an indication, the indications have been that we're, running in the mid to high 60s. There's been one poll that's sort of countered that, but there have been a number of polls, online polls, that have put us consistently in the 60s. And the word is getting out, too. There's been, we've had more media in the last few days than we had in the previous few months, and that level of interest is continuing. So we actually think that we're going to have considerably more awareness of the system at the end of the week than we had at the beginning.
And the Vancouver Sun editorial heartened you?
Oh, yeah, the Sun editorial was a huge boost. It was not unexpected. We pretty much thought they were leaning there, and it had been preceded by about 25 similar editorials from small papers all over the province. So you know, it wasn't a big surprise, but it was a big, big help. And, you know, the rally we had on Sunday was, you know, got a lot of attention as well. All of the newspapers, you know, particularly focused on David Suzuki's intervention. He was on As It Happens last night as well. So I think that's really helped. And you hear people saying, oh, yes, I heard David Suzuki supports this. So that helps. And we're planning another rally for Saturday in Victoria. So if, you know, if that comes off, that's going to be a great close to the campaign, too.
Well, Julian, thanks so much for joining us today, and I appreciate you walking us through it and explaining the process. And good luck to you on referendum day.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Julian West is co-chair of the STV for BC Committee, the leading proponent for the STV referendum, which will happen in 7 days. STVforBC.com is their website for the commentary. I'm Joseph Plana.